Hey everyone, welcome to the Blown Hawk Sports Show, episode 36. I'm CG Hawk, joined by the amazing DJ Benny the Bull, and we're going to get ramped up and ready to go for our new edition of the first five. I want to say it's like the 10th edition, somewhere around there. And we're ready. So the first headline that I found is a heartwarming one, very emotional one. So not a sad Debbie Downer article like most are these days. But this one is from Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com, titled Lindblom Plans to Join Flyers in Toronto. Eyes return in playoffs. Report. This is very good because, in case you missed it, Oscar Lindblom, he is on the Philadelphia Flyers. He's one of their best players. At the end, when he had to, back in December, he got diagnosed with cancer. So he had to basically stop playing, get surgery, treatment. He's been out for a long time. There was talk he'd never play again, maybe. But he's looking healthy. His final treatment's finished last month. And this is very good to see that he can maybe join the team in September or the end of this month. The Flyers would love to have him back. And as a Flyers fan, I'd love to have him back as well. And we're definitely rooting for Oscar Lindblom to come back, the Swede. Very excited that he's even got to this point where he might be able to play again hockey, like meaningful hockey, which is crazy to think, considering not that long ago, at the end of 2019, there was talk he would, like I said, never play again. So great to see more positive updates for Oscar.
Speaking of updates, I have some breaking news. In the middle of the first five.
Really?
We have what's going on right now with the UEFA, the Europa League. The third in the Premier League rankings, the Manchester United FC, otherwise known as Man United, defeats LASK in today's UEFA soccer match. So Man United and LASK, they in full time, 2-1, Man United taking it to the sky, taking it to the bank today in this round of 16, leg 2 of 2. Game. Jesse Lingard scoring at 57, as well as Anthony Martial netting a goal for United in 88th, and then the lone goal for LASK, Philip Weisinger, 55th minute mark. So that is your brief update on the UEFA. And now, my first article, topic of news is on the NBA bubble rumblings on how Damian Lillard focused on long Disney stay. So of course we all know that NBA, the bubble is consisting of all players being settled in this bubble that is in the Disney and the whole World of Sport complex. And so they have three different arenas that are designated for them, different games to be played. And so for Big Dame Lillard, he is the guy, the Trailblazers. And so he just wants to have everyone be able to step up and be able to fight his way for his team to get that final playoff spot. So I'm hoping for them to do that, as they are a good team. And so far, the first two games during this Disney restart, the Blazers are 1-1. 1-1 and position 9th in the Western Conference standings. They're two behind the Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies, they currently occupy that final playoff spot. And so Trailblazers, they're fighting for their postseason lives, and the 8 restart games aren't just final regular season games. The bubble contests, they're being viewed as playoff games by the franchise. So slightly shortened format for such playoffs. Lillard and the Blazers are looking to fight for that spot.
Well,
so
I got,
that's good.
Awesome. I got my second article. This one's on MLB.com by Rhett Bollinger, titled Pujols Hits Number 659, One Shy of Mays. And this has to do with Albert Pujols, one of my favorite players of all time, the future Hall of Famer, former St. Louis Cardinal legend, and current Angels player. He just hit his 659th home run, so he's one away from tying Willie Mays for fifth all-time in Major League history. And once he ties Willie Mays, he'll then be for around 36 home runs behind Alex Rodriguez, who has 696. And then he'll be some farther behind Babe Ruth. And then Hank Aaron and Barry Bonds are too far, I think. But he could pass, I think, A-Rod maybe, and maybe Babe Ruth. But we'll see. But awesome for Albert, so close to getting past Willie Mays.
My second article of news is via a Chicago Bears Facebook Live from roughly an hour ago, that Coach Nagy, he showed up and he talked about how the Bears are going to be and how they've been doing while in, you know, training, and how that's been going for them. And so I thought it was very intriguing, the way that he was talking. No surprise that, you know, the Bears, they've always been a team that's about, you know, keeping, you know, close-knit family and, you know, family-oriented. And he really gave positive outlook for everyone. He wants everyone to stay in good health, first thing. And, you know, just for everyone to stay healthy, that is definitely always the goal, you know, since this whole pandemic has began. And so they've been taking extra, you know, precautions and everything. Not everyone being able to go to training camp, you know, at least training will, actual practices will begin, Coach Nagy announcing to take place on August 17th. Although we have the Bears, his team is down to 80 players. And so with keeping players healthy, he also really heartwarming, heartfelt message to everyone that he believes in them and that he wants to share the love. And, you know, it's good to, you know, show love to the players, and they'll be able to show love all from all around, you know, for the whole team, you know, love your teammates, and, you know, the love, you know, the coach and the rest of the staff back. And so it's good to create that environment for them heading into the new season. And so I have a Sun Times article that is equipped to that, kind of showing how they're showing up in shape, giving Nagy a slight head start and rest and decisions. And I know that, yes, CJ Hawk and I were having a mini debate or discussion off air about how the Bears quarterback situation. I myself wondering how it's going to be with Trubisky being the one that's pushed Pushed Prada being the one that they're going to be able to put out there more versus Nick Foles, who hasn't been able to really or will not be able to participate in a training camp. And him, you know, being brand new, you know, that's not going to really help. You know, he is a veteran, Super Bowl champ. And so that is concerning, though the right choice to give Trubisky the keys. And here is a quote. There's a lot of other guys that I can tell you. I'd be wasting your time to list them all. Of these guys, they're really locked in now. They're in shape. They look good. Pleasant surprise. Huge head start for Bears Nagy and GM Ryan Pace. They try to ascertain how good their roster is. So, Bears improving all around for the incoming NFL season. And good to be able to hear from Coach Nagy and catch up on how the Bears are.
Well, one final comment is that I think that Trubisky, we both agree, will win the starting job, but I think his leash will be very short.
If he
struggles out of the gate right away and sucks, I wouldn't be surprised if they say, give us back the keys, and they give it to Nick Foles instead.
Oh, I don't have enough energy.
I don't know. But I think this is definitely his last year. If he comes out and has a horrible season, I think he's got to get out of here.
Yeah, we don't want another situation with, on the team for too long.
Forever.
In terms of, bad performance.
Yeah. Or,
you know, especially a quarterback. Good example being Aaron Rodgers. Just kidding. We're talking about former Bears. What's his name again?
Jay Cutler?
Jay Cutler. Yes, Jay Cutler. We don't want another Jay Cutler. Because he overstayed, and we could have gotten a better QB.
Yeah, but is this the classic thing when a team drafts a quarterback very high, like the Bears did? They drafted Trubisky second overall, and let's say Trubisky has an abysmal season, they can get rid of Trubisky, but I don't think that Nick Foles is the answer long-term either, so mm-hmm. No Foles, no Trubisky. Who is the new guy that's going to step in? Which, that's a big question mark. So,
mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Personally, I would like Trubisky to have a great season or show some progress. So it would be less of a question mark, but I don't know.
Came in with a lot of promise, a lot of hype.
Yep.
And obviously, automatically, with our second, our newest quarterback being traded to here or being moved to the Bears, Nick Foles. A lot of hype, and I just still don't feel like he really fits in yet. We'll have to see.
We'll see.
So, just excited to see how we are, and it's looking like it's promising with the roster. It's just to be able to execute, be able to put everyone in the right position, especially because it's NFL, and. So going into this new season, we'll see how it is. Hope everyone stays safe and not too sure what if it's going to be a bubble, though they'll find a way.
Well, we've reached our fifth final headline. This one has to do with Anchor. Funny
I'm
enough,
about to explode.
Yeah, so it has to do with Anchor, the site that we love, and this one has. Yeah, so this one has to do with a brand new, brand new feature on Anchor, and Anchor, they now have a brand new feature for the web. So Anchor is more of a, mobile, like, phone.
Made for mobile.
Yeah, made for mobile. But they now have on, just wait for it, will you be amazed, on the web. They have a new way to edit on your audio. So you're going to have your audio. And once you finish your recording, then on web, you can now edit and splice, split the audio, delete stuff you don't want, which normally was only available on the web. I mean, not the web, on mobile.
Apps.
Now it's available on the web. Apps. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
We're going to try it out. We haven't used it yet, but we're very excited to see how the web audio plays out.
Yeah, because definitely this one is what we've been looking for since the beginning.
And, we have been.
We haven't had to really use it, though.
No,
I feel
really.
Some episodes we could have benefited by using this, and it's always for any type of podcast to be able to use an editor like this. Now we'll be able to edit and remove any unwanted background noises that we don't see fit within an episode. So excited to be able to do that. And so, you know, with this new editing tools, and this one's called Anchor's Waveform Editor.
Correct.
So we'll be able to make it easy for us to split, cut, and insert audio at exactly the right moments and polish up.
And I think
to make the show with quick precision.
I think I'm going to just read off what they sent us just to make it less confusing, because I know we kind of rambled on it, but basically,
this is via medium.com.
So basically, it says visualize your audio and trim segments with quicker precision to create the perfect episode. Zoom in to remove background noise and unwanted distractions. Zoom out to cut segments and see your entire show in context. A mini map of your entire recording sits at the top of the editor, so you can stay oriented at a high level even when you're focused on the littlest details. The new editor feature features keyboard shortcuts and segment saving options to help you edit your show more efficiently, with visuals that make it easy to split your audio exactly the right moment so you can insert ads via Anchor sponsorships, interludes, and additional content. Whenever you're making major changes to an episode or adding last-minute touch-ups, you can intuitively shape your podcast exactly the way you want. Next time you use Anchor on web, click the button on your audio segment to check out the Waveform Editor.
Yep, I know that there's other podcasts, ironically sports-related and very reliable source for soccer, and that is The Equalizer. So Equalizer has a soccer specific show that they also are on Anchor. So very, very cool. And so now everyone will be able to use this new editor and improve the episode quality, and we'll be able to build the best future episodes to date.
I think that wraps up our first five, so stay tuned for talk on the Chicago Sky season so far, our NBA playoff predictions, and also some last-minute
MLB
talk on the Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox, how they looked so far, and more. So stay tuned for more coming up very soon. Hey friends, we just finished our first five for this week. We're going to start our short recap of the Chicago Sky versus Dallas Wings game from a few days ago. And some sad news, kind of a spoiler. We had previously recorded a brilliant 25-minute segment on this game and some of the most explosive things that DJ Benny Bull has ever said about WNBA were mentioned, but there was a horrible explosive disaster in the recording, so we are sadly had to scrap that whole entire segment, and we're doing a shorter, more condensed version.
Not that we want to.
But the enthusiasm has diminished.
Yes. So. Why at the time when, you know, women's sports is at its highest, you know, highest form, and really that we've been wanting to push for, you know, equal time for each, you know, WNBA and NBA. So, though we'll get into it, I'm sure most have already heard already by this day that what the result is for their most recent game besides today.
Yes, the Sky are actually playing against the Phoenix Mercury right now.
Yes, and today is Thursday as we speak.
And I believe it's not on TV. I'm not positive. Is that correct?
Yes, it's not on. It's not regular TV today. Not on the U. It's on cable.
Right now, it's in the first quarter. 2 minutes left. Mercury 20, Sky 16. Oh, it says it's on ESPN2.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, ESPN2.
And MVTV Canada.
Yeah, select games will be on CBS Sports Network, ESPN, and ESPN2.
Well, I found a cool article that I wanted to read off for kind of a game story of the Sky Dallas Wings game.
Yep, game notes.
Game notes. And it's titled Vandersloot Stevens Help Sky Beat Wings 82-79. And that is Courtney Vandersloot and Ezra Stevens. The game took place in the Wubble in Bradenton, Florida. That's where all WNBA teams are playing, just like the NBA and NHL are doing their bubbles as well. And the MLS and WSL had theirs. And so reads off. Yeah, no COVID-19 positives. That's success.
Yes.
Most sports have been done a pretty good job so far. Not baseball.
The exception of MLB.
Baseball hasn't, but NHL has done a good job. NBA, WNBA, and WSL did a great job. MLS did okay job. They had some positives early on, but then it kind of got shut down, so it improved.
Yeah.
So, reading off, Ezra Stevens had 15 points, 10 rebounds. Courtney Vandersloot added 14 points and 10 assists, and the Chicago Sky beat the Dallas Wings 82-79 Tuesday night. Also, Allie Quigley and Cheyenne Parker scored 15 points apiece, and Kayla Cooper scored 11 for Chicago, who are now 4-1. And Enrique DiGiovanni, how do you say this name? I screwed up last time. I'll screw up again.
Enrique Aguambowale.
We'll go with that. Had 26 points and 5 assists.
Fun name to say.
5 assists for Dallas, 2-3. Kayla Fortin scored 13 points. And Aisha Gray added 12.
Run to your local gas station as Thornton herself.
And
on fire.
Continuing, Miss Ogunbowale made a wide open layup to trim Dallas' deficit to 80-79 with 13.5 seconds left. After the Sky called timeout and the ball was moved to midcourt, where immediately after the inbound pass, the Wings trapped Vandersloot and forced a jump ball. Dallas gained possession, but after a timeout, Parker had the last of her 4 steals, poking the ball away from Dallas rookie Satu Salibi.
Yep.
And
Satu Salibi.
And finally, the game was iced. It was over when Vandersloot made 2 free throws with 0.1 second remaining. Then the Sky got to party off the court. The Wings devastated.
Yeah, I'll go on to say a very good game, and especially for the Sky. Keep it set.
Bless you.
Thank you. That's about to explode. After a good game. So, excuse me. Yes, very good shot accuracy, especially with, you know, Sky, very consistent points per game. You know, the starting lineup which we'll mention, very well done in this game. They definitely have high accuracy with the balls going in, straight in for the most part. A lot of swishes that we saw throughout that I noticed. So, I mean, obviously you could say that, their court, the rim must be lower than NBA, or, you know, the ball's lighter. But nonetheless, like, still, for WNBA to be able to be much smoother in shooting, that says a lot about the talent, the depth that is under, especially Chicago Sky, that we've seen so far since last year. And it just, they just continue to be, as they are, successful. And right as of now, they are actually number one in the Eastern Conference in the rankings for the Women's National Basketball League. So that is very good. And as I said, the last recording that got wiped away, unfortunately, though fortunately for Chicago Sky, good news on how they have been doing on the court, as they have been successful. So right here I have a shots chart that shows made shots, and X means missed shots, so circles means made shots. And so it appears that they are good all around. Probably less so on the right side, as you see this for this guy and on this match. More so on the left side and more in the paint. They have been really good being able to make shots around the court, the threes. They have a little bit everywhere. Dallas Wings a little bit better around. They less so want to make shots in the paint, though really good on the 3 points, as Chicago Sky has the players that are very successful in that part of the game. For example, Ezra Stevens, as well as Ellie Quigley, who is WNBA All-Star. And I will mention now
the starting lineups.
Starting lineups, yes. So we had here the face that runs the place, number 22, Courtney Vandersloot, point guard. Next, we had shooting guard at number 14, the WNBA All-Star, Ellie Quigley. Next, we have perhaps the best player up until this point. She has won player of the game, number 30, center, Ezra Stevens. Next, number 32, power forward, Cheyenne Parker, who is the top scorer. The last time we checked in on the game that is going on right now. And finally, we have number 2, Kalia, or Kaylee Copper, who is a small forward. And she had one of the most very close here between Ezra Stevens and Courtney Vandersloot. Most minutes in the game, 29 minutes. 30 seconds, Ezra Stevens, 29:04. And then the player with the most that goes to the face of the sky, as shown on by WNBA media posters, you know, you see around for the sky, Courtney Vandersloot, 30 minutes, 58 seconds.
And I'll do the Dallas Wings starting lineup now. At point guard, number 4, Mariah Jefferson. At shooting guard, number 24, Miss Arike
Ogunbowale.
Okay, who was the game's high scorer with 26.
And with the most minutes.
And the most shot attempts.
31-26, and what shots?
She shot 12 for 24, so 50%, so a good average.
Field goal.
Then at center, number 45, Esto Nador. Then at power forward, number 20, Isabel Harrison. And finally, number 0, Sato Sabali, the small forward.
Sabali, shooting small forward. Had one of the most minutes here, too. Smack dab in the middle with 26, 28, and 22.2% percentage shooting field goal.
Oh, one final comment I want to make is it seems like the Dallas Wings and Chicago Sky have different philosophies. It looks like the starting five for the Sky play a lot of big minutes, but the Dallas Wings, it looks like the starting five, for example, Harrison and Nodor and Jefferson, all of them played barely any minutes, and some of these bench players played big minutes. So I'm wondering if that's like load management or if that's just they're not that good, or I don't really know. But
yeah, similar to soccer with the Red Stars, how they were doing during the tournament.
Probably load management or injury.
Yeah, given chances to the bench, if you will, as well as new draft players. So, yeah, how would you compare this, the Sky, to, would you say this is similar to a Bulls, maybe to, you know, certain teams within NBA? Would you compare it to how they kind of run? Give us some idea this, especially with this game.
Well, I think this was a close game. I think definitely the Sky are similar to the Bulls, where they have some veterans, but some people who are brand new, like Rufy Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
She's brand new. And veterans, you know, like Allie Quigley's a veteran, and Courtney Vandersloot.
Yeah, Gentel Lavender has been there for 2+ years or so. She's actually, whenever the game is on regular TV, WCIU, she's been on the announced team, being the second person on the announced team. So right now she's out.
Well, one comment I have is that there's a difference between the level of play, I think, because in the NBA there's 30 teams, WNBA only, 9? Or it's 10? But there's less teams, so there's more stars, at least a star in every team, so there's less, like more parity, so even the worst teams can compete.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, in the NBA, some of the worst teams, they'll never win against the better team.
Yeah, so it's, again, like, similar to NWSL. Seeding does not really matter, really.
I think the NWSL is even more parity. Like, any of those teams, frankly, had a great shot winning that NWSL Challenge Cup. Whereas,
going in, like, OL Reign and Sky Blue, nobody expected them to go far.
Whereas some of these teams in the WNBA, if I actually researched it and did, like, explosive, engaging media coverage, they probably would not have a chance to win the WNBA final, but there's a shot they could maybe make it to the playoffs, unlike some where they never would.
Sure.
And I think that wraps up our coverage of the Dallas Wings versus Chicago Sky match from Tuesday night. Sky won
82-79. Yeah. For those of you who want to check out future games, definitely please do. It's available, especially these days. Like we said, more games are to be, even during NBA games. The announcers made sure to mention about how fans and everyone alike have been pushing for more games to be on TV. We're talking national TV, like an ABC, which has happened thus far. There will be a game, I believe it's this Saturday on ABC, the Liberty being featured. And so, yes, that's been the thing. And for locally, we're very fortunate to have games, most Sky games are on the U. So WCIU now on channel 26.2, usually with the times being they play at 2 p.m., which is typically a weekend, or 5 p.m. and mostly 7 p.m. prime time.
And thanks for listening to this recap of the game. Stay tuned for our 2020 NBA playoffs predictions. And no, the Bulls are not making the playoffs, so if you're waiting for the Bulls, I'm sorry, they didn't make it. And we're here on Bulldog Sports Show episode 36, the last segment of episode 36. We finished up our WNBA Sky Wings recap, which the Sky won. Now we're going to get into our NBA talk for this week, talking about the upcoming NBA playoffs, talking about the contenders and the pretenders in the East and West conferences, respectively. We're going to start off in the Eastern Conference. And I think there's a raccoon outside in my garbage, but we're going to move on. So... the sixth seed in the East currently, and definitely looks like it will stay that way, probably, is the Philadelphia 76ers. I am a Sixers fan, like the Sixers. I listen to the Sixers Talk podcast on NBC Sports Philadelphia. It's on Spotify and anywhere you can get your podcasts. Often, I like listening to Paul Hudrick and Johnny Pommel and Ben Berry talk about the Sixers. And the Sixers have been one of those teams that every day, just like the Chicago Bulls, makes you mad, angry, furious. Because one day, they look like they might be heading to the NBA Finals. The next day, it looks like they might be heading to worst record in all of the NBA. The Sixers' offense is definitely a very good offense. It's an offense I'll put up there as one of the best. But their defense is one of the worst. Even with Ben Simmons, who is awesome, Joel Embiid, they're two best players. Tobias Harris is all right. Al Horford, he's not as good as he used to be. Sorry to say that, but ever since he arrived in Philadelphia, he's looked old and slow on defense, which is kind of sad because I'm a Al Horford fan. And the Sixers, if you told me, do they have a shot to beat the Celtics, their current opponent, if the playoffs started right now, I would have said possible. They could maybe make it to a 7-game series, 6-game series, very close games. But once the restart started, their defenses looked so bad. And that was before the horrible, devastating news that Ben Simmons, the best player on the team, won't be playing the rest of the year. He's out for the year.
Indefinitely.
This is devastating news. And you're asking, what injury could this have been? And this is from Yahoo Sports. Yeah, it's from Yahoo Sports. An article I'm reading, Jason Owens wrote, Ben Simmons' injury is worse than originally thought. He left the Wizards game last night with a knee injury. They said day-to-day, which is believable. But then today, they announced he had a luxation of his left patella, a partially dislocated kneecap in his left leg. He's out indefinitely. This one's devastating. And Brett Brown, the coach, said, this one stings for sure. We all felt like with the pandemic, it obviously bought time for Ben, but he won't be playing. He's had injury issues. He had a back problem before this. This happened. He's going to miss even more. And the Sixers season is over, so let's move on. The Sixers, I want them to be well. I think without Ben Simmons, they're cooked. So let's move on to the Indiana Pacers. So the Pacers currently the fifth seed in the East. Their best player is Victor Oladipo. They also have Jonas Valanciunas. They also have Miles Turner, who's at used to be the guy that you fought of as the face of the Pacers. He's kind of afterthought now with Oladipo's play and Sabonis's play. And Oladipo, they thought he's going to be out for the playoffs. He wouldn't come back. He had a horrible injury a while ago. And I think he's getting close to coming back. He possibly could be. Actually, he's back. He played last night against the Suns.
Yeah.
He scored 16 points for them. And their best lineup that they can put on the court without Sabonis, who's hurt, he's probably their second best player if he was healthy. But their best starting five without him is Victor Oladipo, Malcolm Brogdon, the former Bucks player, Miles Turner, TJ Warren, and Aaron Holiday, who is related to the guy on our
Drew Holiday.
And Justin Holiday. They're all related. And
yeah, Drew Holiday as well, right?
Yeah, Drew, Justin, and Aaron, all related.
Drew, by the way, spelled with a J, J R.
Correct.
Kind of like true, though, with a J.
Yes, yeah, so Warren has played very well so far for the Pacers in this restart. He had a 53-point game, 34-point game, also scored 16 points in this one. He's looked good for them. Brogdon has looked good. Oladipo. Without Sabonis, it will hurt them. But Oladipo is still a well-respected all-star caliber player. They have some good bench guys off the bench who could help them. Not scoring, per se, but T.J. McConnell, he's a backup point guard for them. He's a bulldog type. Picture a Matthew Dellavedova, that kind of type of player. A guy's going to not make big mistakes, give you minutes, try to facilitate the point guard position. I like him. I'm a T.J. McConnell fan. They have some other guys. Justin Holiday, who we mentioned. I think they need to have Oladipo step up big, Brogdon, to have a chance. I like the Pacers, but we'll see if they can play well. Especially, they have some hard games upcoming in this restart against like the Lakers, the Heat, Rockets, and the Heat again. So none of these games are cakewalks. And let's say they lose all four of their last games. They could fall behind the 76ers and would have to face the Celtics, which wouldn't be good. Currently, they'd be facing against the Miami Heat. So we'll have to see what happens for the Pacers. Now let's move on to the Miami Heat and take it away, TJ Bang the Bull.
Yes, so the Heat is back on as we have the Miami Heat. They have entered the bubble for months now, trying to scratch their way up to as far as the Celtics are, which, by the way, is the most winningest team out of everyone, but approximately, last I saw, 17 NBA titles. So they're looking to enter that territory once again. It is possible. Back in 2006, that very awesome game, D-Wade, of course, still in the roster. He's been so for the longest. And him being, you know, in that prime, along with Shaquille O'Neal, you know, that's probably their best times. I want to say of the 2000s, probably 2010s, they've had their shot. Though, right now, you know, being a part of the whole playoffs picture, they're definitely, they have their, you know, awesome, spectacular players, such as Bam Adebayo, the center and forward, number 13, who I got to witness back in All-Star Weekend. Much simpler times, as now has been the pandemic's going on, unprecedented times. So Adebayo, very stylish, being a part of the JBL players' appearance, you know, them recording a podcast interview for that. If I recall, it was ESPN's Taylor Brooks, or TNT's, that was conducting that one. And so, yeah, I believe, yeah, that was definitely the last of the interviews that I was at. during February 15th. And so it was really cool to see, you know, life on there. And hours later, you see that as, you know, cool of interview being there at the Water Tower place. Hours later, he was right there being a part of the All-Star after festivities, the All-Star game, to that day having all the contests that were going on. We saw him. He was on TV already at the UC, part of the, was it three-point contest or was it dunk contest? Three-point contest, I believe it was.
I think so.
Yeah, he was, so that was kind of funny, you know, you're with him right before that. And so that's my most recent memory of, you know, besides seeing him play, he is definitely one of the most consistent players that we've seen, you know, his young career in the NBA within the Heat. So looking forward to seeing him as the Heat keep on their way to heat it up to the to possibly to the finals. I say it is possible. You know, they have Kyle Alexander, number 17, forward and center for them, as well as former Chicago Bull Jimmy G. Buckets, a.k.a. Jimmy Butler, number 22, a forward, who we need no further explanations of how he is. You know, definitely still one of the best today, as well as Goran Dragic, should be the way you say it, Dragic.
Yeah, Goran Dragic, yeah. He's a good player.
Yep, number 7, as well as number 99, Jay Crowder, forward. They also have Udonis Haslam, also a forward, number 40. So they have a good
roster. You're forgetting Andre Iguodala.
Oh, almost dead. Yes. Yeah. Andre Iguodala.
He's definitely a guy who's won championships before.
Being with the Warriors, yeah. Who, for the first time in 8 years, they will be missing a playoff. They will not have a playoff berth. So that is still, you know, shocking. It definitely shakes me to my core, though. Let's continue on with the Heat, as definitely, I say whenever the Heat and the Warriors, they play, they have some really good games. I'm trying to remember last time Steph Curry just returned, and I believe they were playing the Heat. They had the Miami Vice edition jerseys on, and definitely was very good for what it was, especially for Curry to prove everyone wrong that he's not up to obviously limited minutes, though I don't believe it was very much limited because he was out there for a little while longer, and the Heat, of course, showing them up that they are somewhat, they're a team to be reckoned with. And so Derrick Jones Jr., also a part of it, he was part of All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, he won the dunk contest.
Yes, he basically, as Mo said, robbed Aaron Gordon yet again.
He robbed it, yeah.
Participant in the NBA All-Star Weekend contest. That is the dunk contest. So he said in an interview, "This is the moment we've all been waiting for. We all wanted to get back to basketball, and it's just something that we all love. I'm just happy to be here and just happy to be out there with my guys. So I'm going to just enjoy every moment of it." Eric Spoelstra echoed Jones Jr.'s sentiments. He went on to say, "On behalf of the Heat and Jones Jr., on the court is where we feel like we live in a normal world. We're back in our comfort zones where it's familiar." Yeah, and that's basically the story of the Heat, you know, whenever they're all together, you know, no injuries, everything, like, definitely, you know, without, like, someone like Jimmy Butler, they're not as as smooth. You know, we've seen that since, you know, obviously right before, you know, the we have to do with a bubble and cancellations and everything, like, so far. Obviously, everything coming to continuing right now. And he continued to say, we're all just really grateful that we're able to participate in this. This is historical. That's why we just have to continue to cross our fingers. So, Coach, that is actually their coach, Coach Spo, in short, also said, our depth is going to play a factor. I'm going to play guys, certainly, in the scrimmages, which has already happened, of course, and the rest of the regular season. Probably a little bit more to go deeper into our rotation as we ramp this up and guys get into better game shape. That is a strength of ours that we feel that we want to utilize. And last thing is, with all that said, we have former Warrior, Dub Nation specialist, Andre Iguodala. In just a short time, he has seen motivated 20-year-old. I believe he's talking about Hero, who hasn't rested on the laurels one bit. Such 16-year vet in him wants to help the former Kentucky Wildcat in any way possible. So definitely have that veteran presence, if you will, with Iguodala is definitely a positive for them. And, you know, new beginning for, you know, we're not used to, though. I see, you know, Iguodala, you know, already fitting in to the Heat. And so that's good things for them. And one thing he had to say is, I'm a huge fan of his. It's, again, talking about Tyler Hero. You don't have to tell him twice to do something. He just wants to really be great and wants to get better. Every day I see him, I'm just like, whoa, this kid has a lot of potential and really loves the game. He just doesn't want to be complacent with being really good. He wants to be great for a really long time. So for me, I'm just trying to help out in any way that I can, even if it's off the court. And that's definitely one part of the team that I see. It looks like everyone, the Heat is, as Butler said before, they gel really well. He, for the longest, I guess, the Heat, he wanted to go to the Heat, and he now really feels like he fits in. And so I feel like automatically with someone, a veteran like Iguodala as well, it's good to have them be around and, you know, build up younger players and have good chemistry for, you know, the NBA. And that matters too, especially, you know, having a young team with you as well. And that could help win championships as well. And that's the best way to go, because a team that can all get along together, that makes it mean that much more. So, yeah, definitely Heat making the progress. You're talking about also KZ Akpala, handful of games that he played under head coach Eric Glass, also shown growth, literally and figuratively, Coach Spo also said. So, embracing camaraderie, competition, the bubble's unique environment. So, they say Heat culture. Guys had quite family surprise when they walked into the bubble. And so really it's a team of family, and I say that they'll be able to overcome the odds that some other teams, you know, will probably won't be as close to getting. So I say they have against you a good chance.
All right. We're moving on to the Boston Celtics, the number 3 seed in the East. Celtics are talented. They have a lot of talent. That's not something they lack, with guys such as Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. They got Kemba Walker, Gordon Hayward. Those are their best.
Gordon Hayward with a little bit disturbed when I saw his new look, if you will. With,
yeah.
I know he had a haircut a while, though. He's sporting a much larger facial hair. That mustache is kind of killer.
And we're going to keep this one short because neither one of us is a big Boston Celtics fan, supporter of them. They have a good shot to make it far. They get to face the Sixers, it looks like, in the first round, probably. And without Ben Simmons, the Sixers, as we said previously, go back earlier in the episode if you want to listen to that. Their chances are very decimated, gone. So I think the Celtics could beat them. Then they have to go up against, it looks like, the Raptors, if the Raptors won their matchup in the second round. And the Celtics do have the talent with Tatum, Hayward, Brown, Kemba Walker. And will the Celtics make it far? Will they go home? They're another team. It's kind of an enigma. Their talent says they should make it deep. But then some experts say they'll go home really early after the second round. So we'll see how it plays out. Will the Celtics make it far or go home? But I don't want to give that much talk to the Celtics. Let's just move on to
the next one. They're missing one of their Kyrie Irving as well, right, still?
He's on the Nets. Kyrie Irving left the Celtics. Right.
Yeah. For some reason, when I was watching the game yesterday, I was thinking, like, oh, isn't Irving, you know?
No, he left the Celtics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm getting mixed up once again. I mean, they were playing one another, so I kind of saw him in there. Not used to not seeing him. I have one more thing that I want to add about Butler, that he actually recently came back on Monday, as he was the Heat All-Star wing. Butler, he was available to play last Monday against the Raptors, so... He's a recent return player. So he's good, healthy now. And next and last for the Eastern Conference, we have the Milwaukee.
Wait, Buckaroos. You forgot the Raptors.
Oh, wait. Yeah, if you want to go that, let's. Yeah, second to last, we have Raptors.
I apologize to Canada, DJ Benny Bull. This mistake.
Oh, yeah, since we're alternating, we're like, all right, one more for me.
He mistakenly forgot the Raptors. It's okay.
The Raptors. Raptors actually one of my faves, too.
Yeah, we're both big fans of the Raptors, so.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Yep. So, the Raptors.
My mistake.
It's all right. The Raptors are the second seed in the Eastern Conference. Kyle Lowry. One of my favorite players in the NBA. He's looking really good recently. Pascal Siakam's looking great. New Mexico State. Superstar. OG Anunoby has looked good.
Yeah, I like that.
Marc Gasol.
He was quite talked about during the last game. Well, the last game they had last week.
Marc Gasol, a defensive star. Serge Ibaka on defense. Fred VanVleet's looked great on scoring recently with 21 points in their last game against the Magic. They got some good players. They got a pretty good bench. Not bad. The Raptors is another team like the Miami Heat where they all gel together, all get along really well. The team has good cohesion.
Yeah. Yeah, you could definitely tell with the last game that they, or last two games, rather, especially the one I saw for last weekend, that the way that they pass the ball, it's shades of Dub Nation Warriors is just so quick, and they just very smooth that way. They pass it around quickly and throw off opponents in that way. So I really enjoy that they're able to move it around real quick, and that's part of something that not many teams have, and that definitely shows who they are.
And the Raptors have a great defense. That's one of their hallmarks. They also score well. And this is one of the first teams we've talked about so far that I think could actually make it to the NBA Finals. I think it's not out of the realm possibility the Raptors could make it all the way back and repeat. Or if not repeat, they might not be have enough to beat like LeBron James or Kawhi Leonard, those guys. But I wouldn't say it's impossible that they make it to the NBA Finals again. And I'm rooting for the Raptors. DJ Benny Bull is rooting for the Raptors also. Very excited.
Yeah.
And we're definitely going to cover the Raptors more, because that's one of the teams that for this NBA playoffs they'll focus on. Just like for the NWSL, we had the Chicago Red Stars. The MLS, we had the Chicago Fire. Like, we choose a team that we'll root for, so to speak, to, like, talk about.
Yeah.
Because the Bulls obviously didn't make it, so we need to choose some team.
Yeah, I mean, that's where we do a little commentary, you know.
Right.
We kind of emphasize this more meaning when we're talking about some that we love, a team that we call club that we love. So,
yeah. I think...
So, sign a spotlight.
Yeah. I think we've reached the last one, the Milwaukee Bucks, so take it away, DJ Benny the Bull.
Oh, no, for sure, after the correction earlier. This is indeed the last, next and last team in the Eastern Conference, and that is the, you guessed it, Milwaukee Buckaroos. Yes, the Mill Bucks. Showing, so there, here it goes with, for the Bucks, they have one question that is at the top, and that is major weakness at NBA bubble. Will it matter? And this one is courtesy of Forbes that they answer as part of this article that is aiding in our coverage. This is by their senior contributor who covers NBA, soccer, esports, and more, Shlomo Sprung. So here, the Bucks, they spent the entire regular season statistically the best team, very consistent. As we said before, I still see this, you know, without certain players, one or two, out. They're not the same, though they're not, like, completely horrible.
No.
So they definitely have, perhaps, some will say, without a doubt, the best chance within the East, at least, or maybe some others will say overall have the best chance to win the NBA title, and that would be amazing, especially I would say for us, we're rooting for the Bucks, you know, for the East as well. We would definitely wouldn't mind, you know, Raptors either or Bucks, because we have a love for Toronto, you know, as a city, as their, you know, last year for the finals, they're the reigning champions for the longest, one of the teams that we support. And the Bucks, you know, especially being close to Chicago,
yeah, close to us.
You know, rooting for one of your Midwest teams right there, you know, the closest thing to the Bulls, with no disrespect to them, that I say that they're the team that has the best chance. And their best point differential, best defense, play at the fastest pace in the league. One of those teams that I see, again, very similar to the Miami Heat, that have very good, that gel well, good chemistry. And if you haven't seen before, the Bucks official YouTube channel, they actually have a series, more so coverage of life in the bubble, and very funny interview that's not in there, though, by ESPN's Rachel Nichols, part of the NBA countdown, that for the first time in me seeing, never isn't leading to a game that was coming up after. They're covering the whole bubble during the scrimmage games and coming into a few of the games, such as with the Nuggets and Raptors and or Spurs and such. So that, like, the one of the last parts, they had all three brothers. Obviously, they're in different teams. Two of the three are in the Bucks, and one in the Lakers. And Antetokounmpo brothers, interviewed by Nichols, really funny. It's just saying that they don't actually get to hang out with one another all the time, so it's special, definitely, being able to kind of do that while in the bubble and playing games, playing card games. As we saw in The Last Dance, that Jordan and, you know, the Bulls, they definitely one of their favorite activities, and so that tradition continued. I believe it's more like, you know, basketball players, you know, they like to play games, you know, whether on the plane or just going around. So it was nice getting to see that. And in the YouTube channel, The Bubble, they're showing just how their team really get along well, you know, other players such as former Bull, Robin Lopez, they also have, Chris Middleton, and obviously the Greek Freak himself, Giannis, team captain. And right here saying he's likely a back-to-back MVP. I say that he will. I believe in him. He's my pick. And also former, ironically, Miami Heat superstar, legend, Dwayne Wade also chooses Giannis to be the MVP. As we said previous episode of why. And so, yeah, I side with him on that. And all-star Chris Middleton, deep roster rotation of players, ensuring the Bucks still outscore opponent by large amounts. And when, even when, like I said, the Greek Freak sits out. So here, one weakness the Bucks have, they give up the most three-pointers, surprisingly, the most attempts, with team shooting threes at a league average percentage. And especially just saying that for all games, I noticed in the last game I was able to see that, especially during the Lakers, them not being themselves as of late, something that the Bucks could, you know, capitalize. Let's say if it's like semifinal game, not to look too far, that they have, what was going to go with this? The, yeah, so something about three-pointers, how they have been missing with that. Though, nonetheless, Milwaukee, they're now 2-for-2 in the bubble. And I'm happy to announce that the Bucks have clinched the... Oh, yeah. I was going to say that it's teams have been following the most ever. And I believe... the announcers are saying that it's because the refs are able to hear everything, especially with no crowd. So, and also them, the players trying to, you know, get their energy out, especially not being able to play for months, for extended period. So that's probably caused them to want to, you know, be go harder, and so more following going on. And happy to announce that the Bucks recently clinched the number one seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs for the second straight year, courtesy of Bleacher Report. And so with them being the top seed, coming back from 23 down to beat Miami 123-111 on Thursday last week, the Heat, they hit 21 three-pointers. The Bucks now 3-for-6 in their last 9 games, and additionally have a defensive problem of allowing too many threes. The Heat, potential second-round opponent in the playoffs, hit 13 three-pointers in the first half, led by 17 halftime. At halftime, despite Butler and Dragic being out for Miami.
Well, I think that wraps up our Eastern Conference NBA preview. Do you want to do the West, or do you want to save that for the next episode?
Let's do the West.
All right. So let's get into the West right this very moment. And I want to mention one last thing about the East. We did not mention the Brooklyn Nets or Orlando Magic. They are going to the playoffs as well, but their chances are so minimal that we felt, and also we don't know anything about them, we felt there wasn't really a reason to recap it or preview it. So it is, no, the Magic and Nets are going to the playoffs as well.
And don't worry, we will preview the matchups as sure. They come along when the playoffs happen.
We don't know them yet, so.
We will talk about them sometime soon.
Now let's move to the West. And the West, There's an interesting thing at the bottom of the conference with Memphis Grizzlies, Portland Trail Blazers. The Grizzlies are currently the 8th seed, barely. The Trail Blazers are the 9th seed. And how this new NBA bubble works is that if the 9th and 8th seeds are separated by more than 4 games, then the 8th seed automatically makes it to the playoffs. But if it's separated by less than 4 games, then the 8th and 9th seeds play a best-of-2 playoff series. And the 8th seed only needs to win one, of course, because it's a best-of-2. But the 9th seed has to win both. So that could play a factor. I think the Trailblazers, in the end, will pass the Grizzlies. I think it's more likely it's going to be this 2-game playoff series. But I think the Trailblazers are going to beat them either way, because Damian Lillard's playing really well. Nurkic is playing really well. They got a good team. CJ McCollum's playing well. And I think the Trailblazers are more of a cohesive, more of a... Oh, Carmelo Anthony. They have more good players who can light up the floor, take charge. Damian Lillard is a great player, great leader on this team. And I think I'm more confident in the Trailblazers. Maybe not defensively. Their defense leaves little to be desired, but their offense is one of the best. And the Grizzlies, I like John Morant, but I'm not that confident in the rest of the team besides John Morant. And he's so young. It's his first year in the NBA. He might win the rookie year, which will be congratulations to him. But
he's de facto the best player in the team already.
He already is. With some guys in the team who deserve to be mentioned a little bit are like Jonas Valanciunas, Brandon Clark, Kyle Anderson, perfectly fine. Dylan Brooks is good. I think Dylan Brooks and John Morant are their best players. I like Dylan Brooks. He used to play at Oregon. He's playing really well, especially in their last game, which they lost. He had 23 points, led the team in points for that game. This team, a fun team. I think it would have been fun to see them against the Lakers in a regular playoff series.
Yeah.
But I don't think John Morant and his team has enough. They played really poor as of late. I think the Trailblazers will pass them. So let's move on to the number 6 seed and the... No, 7th.
Before that...
The 7th in the West.
I would like to see one-on-one in a dunk contest. Ja versus LeBron.
That'd be fun.
Who would win?
It'd be Ja.
Which player would fans root for the most? would be the first question.
I think some people root for LeBron because they actually heard of him. John Morant's so new that not big fans might not know him.
He'll be like the underdog.
Yeah.
That's interesting to see.
Let's move on to the 7th seed in the West, the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks have Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis. Those are some of their best players. They also have Boban. He's one of the biggest guys in the NBA. He's fun to watch.
Oh, you're talking about Bol Bol? Or not yet?
Boban Marjanovic. Look him up. He's like a center.
Marjanovic.
He's like 7'6" or some huge height. He's crazy.
And also Kristaps Porzingis.
Yep. And I like the Mavericks. Luka Doncic is great. He's looked so good in his young career so far. Kristaps Porzingis is a great guy from Latvia. Definitely their second best player. Doncic is already their best.
Curry and Trey Burke as well, along with Marjanovic.
Yes, Trey Burke, Dorian Finley-Smith. This team is similar to the Grizzlies. They have some good young pieces, some young guys to watch, fun guys to watch, especially. But yet again, they have to face a team that is better than them, a lot better in my opinion. And I don't think they have enough to beat the LA Clippers. I think the Clippers are too talented. And the Mavericks had a nice season. Nice to see him back in the playoffs after a long departure from the playoffs. And Luka, I think, is just a starting point. I can easily see him getting this Mavericks team even more success in the future. But this is only his second year in the NBA. This team's young also. They've had some older guys, but their main guys are young, like Porzingis and Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
So...
It's not like they haven't made the playoffs before. Last time,
right.
Recent memory was in 2011, conference title as well as the championship. So
they made it a little bit recently. I think it's like 2016. But besides that, they haven't made it in a while.
And that 2010-2011 season, that was against the Miami Heat,
right,
in the finals. So.
So that wraps up our Mavericks talk. You want to move to Houston?
Sure.
So now we're on Houston Rockets. James Money Harden and his Houston Rockets. They are a team that's to be feared. They have a small ball lineup, which you may think, that's not very smart. But it's worked well for them. They're a small ball death trap lineup of P.J. Tucker, James Harden, Ben McLemore, Robert Covington, and Daniel House. And my thing is that I didn't even know Ben McLemore was still playing. I thought he quit the league years ago. But
McLemore plays basketball? What?
I thought he was on... I know he's on the Kings forever, but I thought he quit basketball years ago. But I guess not.
So.
And also they have Russell Westbrook, who probably one of their best.
Save the best for last.
Yeah, so I think Westbrook, I think McLemore is only playing because Westbrook didn't play. So I think McLemore would be benched, obviously. So it would be.
Yeah, you need someone just in case, you know, if they don't have Westbrook, if they don't have Harden, you know.
Well.
They'll be fine, you know.
I think the Rockets are a team that could make some noise. They have talent.
Yeah.
James Harden, Russell Westbrook, great scoring team. I think they have a chance to, if they stay where they are in the standings, they're in the sixth seed right now, but they could move. They're very close to the Thunder. The Thunder only, they're basically the same exact record, but the Rockets, based on head-to-head, are below the Thunder. And the Jazz are only like a half game ahead of them. So they're close to there. And the Rockets could beat the Nuggets, I think. So I think it wouldn't be the dumbest idea for them to stay where they are in the sixth spot. But I think they could beat any of these teams they face. The 4-5, the Thunder, Jazz, Nuggets. I think they would have a good chance against any of those teams. And
they also a month ago signed free agent and former Chicago Bull for a year back in 2017-2018 David Nwaba.
That was a good signing. He's a good defensive player.
Will he be part of reason for their success?
Maybe.
There's a reason. And he's been a part of multiple teams. Not as much as J.R. Smith, though. Yeah, we'll get to the Lakers later.
So that's our Rockets talk. Their team to be looked at, definitely focused in on. They could either go home first round, or they can make it to the semifinal, like the second round.
I have some breaking news.
Oh.
This is via CBS Sports, and 7 hours ago, we have, you know, big matchup right here, and set for tonight, and per report that LeBron James is out as we speak. He missed today's game versus Rockets with groin soreness.
Oh no,
flapping too hard once again.
Oh man.
And then so yeah, LaFlop
Oh, Lord.
He's like, peace out for now. And we also have Mr. Triple Double times three, Russell Westbrook. He was unlikely to play as well. Yeah, we'll definitely give recaps for some games within the next episode. So yeah, that definitely makes both teams reshuffle everything. So we'll see how that is for the Rockets, especially.
Now we move on to the OKC Thunder, currently the fifth seed in the Western Conference. The Thunder are led by Chris Paul,
CP3,
and they also have Steven Adams, who's a great center
Steven
for them.
Adams,
he's a good player.
His rainbow hook shot. Oh, nobody beats him.
And then also
maybe Robin Lopez. That's
maybe. And also they have Shai Gargeous Alexander, who's a good young player too. Those are their best guys.
Definitely, very good showing. Yesterday they actually defeated
the Flop.
Was it 2 days ago? Yesterday, yeah. They defeated the Lakers and they led the game majority of the time, and it was the first time that the Lakers did not get a lead in the game this season. So Lakers definitely struggling despite having LeBron in the fold up until today. So very interesting notes from yesterday.
Well, the Thunder are I think we've said this to every team almost. Another team that could make it to the second round or go home right away. They have Chris Paul. Chris Paul, I'd like to see him shed that choker label where people are like, he can only make it out of the first round and then he immediately has to go home. But he did.
Yeah.
They did make the. When he's on the Rockets, he did make the Western Conference Finals a few years ago, so that was good.
With the Clippers, right?
No, the Rockets, I think. But remember, he was on the Rockets.
Oh, wait, yeah, the Rockets, there we go.
They almost beat Steph Curry, but they lost the final
second. No matter what, I say, I always see him, he's always, Clippers, he's a Clippers legend.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, now he is the lead act for the Thunder, one of my favorite teams as well.
And State Farm.
That's right. As well. Definitely don't steal his parking spot. That's not his. He's talking about Alfonso Ribeiro, a Carlton from Fresh Prince, claiming that he is Chris Paul. And also, he is a leader within the NBA as a whole because he is the NBA PA, a.k.a. National Basketball Association Players Association President, and one of the leads for during this whole time for Black Lives Matter cultural movement and all about social injustices, social justice that's been going on. A big advocate for all of that.
Well, that wraps up our OKC talk. We move to the fourth seed in the West, the Utah Jazz.
Jazz. Another two-player leadership.
Yep, the Jazz are led by COVID-19 believer of fake news.
What was that word you used?
I was trying to say COVID-19, believer of fake news, whatever.
Believer of fake news.
Like he thought I was fake or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell.
They also have Mike Conley, too.
To meet during All-Star Weekend, yeah. Though it didn't happen. Yeah, he was, apparently he was late. From whatnot.
That's too bad.
I missed a phone call that that day that he was supposed to be at Champ Sports. So they said that he would be in late, and so we couldn't wait for that as we were running on to the next thing. So As they say, there's always next time, though. During these unprecedented times, we know that we shouldn't take the time for granted, as there's no guarantees. Although, I'm very glad that, Mitchell and Gobert successfully recovered from COVID-19, and since, of course, they're in the bubble, and that's really important for how the NBA is, that they do that, especially since they're one of the few players that would, before this restart happened, were suffering from, symptoms, and fortunately recovered from it. So very happy to be able to see them playing now and that they're healthy. And that's the best they can do for everyone else that has gone through this. It would be a disservice if they let's just sit out just because of that. No, they pushed hard, and very inspiring for those who definitely could make recovery happen, and definitely for those who couldn't. I say that they're the team to watch, especially, being high up there, number four, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so very inspirational if they reach, high in this playoff and go on to championships.
Let's move on.
Yeah, more on the Jazz?
Yeah, so Donovan Mitchell, best player. Rudy Gobert, best defensive guy on the team. We don't know who they're going to play yet. It's too hard to tell, predict, because they have a very close to the Thunder and the Rockets in the standings. They could fall to 6th or stay at 4. That's the best they could do, I think, at this point. If they play excellent, possible they could get to the 3rd seed past the Nuggets, but that looks unlikely. But 4 for 6 is where they'll lie, I expect. So either they'll get to face the Jazz, face the Thunder, or the Rockets, one of those guys, or get to face
Nuggets. The Jazz, and then versus the Celtics, their former all-star player.
Enes Kanter?
Well, he was on the Jazz, though. Gordon Hayward. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. I thought I meant Enes Kanter.
Yeah. That would be an interesting matchup right there.
Because he was on the Jazz, too.
Yeah, and he left while he was still injured, correct?
Right.
Yeah. Incredible.
Well, this Jazz team is young. Some experts say there'll be a big divide. Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell will fight and scream at each other. The bad locker room. We don't know that. We're not Utah Jazz players or employees. But we'll have to see how they turn out. They could either go home right away, like a lot of these teams, or they could make it to the second round, where the Lakers will probably crush them up to a little bug and that'll be the end of them. Or the Clippers. I don't think they'll beat either one of those. So I think their ceiling's a second round exit. Let's move to the
number three.
The Golden State Warriors.
Close by. And apparently, the more I check out news and media interviews and fellow classmates that claim that Denver as well as Utah, to some extent, well, right now Denver is one of the best cities that they want to live in, apparently.
Oh, that's cool.
I wonder why. Because you usually get the complaint, oh, Chicago, it's too cold.
There's too much crime.
Yeah. I'm leaving. And so, yeah. that's kind of like, oh, screw you, you know, Illinois, because of what's happening, you know. I mean, that was currently, though, for the longest, like, oh, just because we're, like, you know, police situations and, you know, the weather, they'll blame that. And obviously, if it doesn't happen to you, all right, let's move from it. You know, it doesn't mean it doesn't happen, as I heard from someone said today. So I say that, you know, it's kind of a disservice to say that. If you're going to say that you want to move to somewhere, then just say that, not stick it to those who are still loyal and stay here for, you know, because they can, they see that there's the positives. So just what little one thing when I think of the Denver Nuggets.
So the Nuggets, they have the talent, but yet again, the Nuggets are trying to shed that label of a team that plays great in the regular season.
Let's be more empathetic.
Plays great in the regular season, but when the playoff starts, they instantly explode, blow up, go home right away. But they got some guys who could make some noise with the Joker. They got
Nikola Jokic.
They got former Bull Jeremy Grant. They got
Jeremy or Jerian?
Or Jeremy or whatever.
Yeah, that's the one I remember.
Whatever it is. Jared Grant or whatever. I want to double check. I might be lying. It might be the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Let me double check. Hold on.
It's a completely different name.
I lied. It's not the same guy.
No.
Oh, well. This team, they have the players. The Joker, one of the best, he could lead them to a first-round victory.
Also a candidate, has a case for all-NBA first team. Another dominant season worthy of a spot for the first team.
They also have Ball Ball, who will definitely get the...
Ball considered one of the best right now?
He'll definitely get the ball in this game. And this team, I like what they have on paper. I think they're possible, if lucky, possible conference final contender. I think we'll have to see. Yeah.
Yep.
It looks like at this point they'll probably face the Clippers at this point, in the second round, I'd say. So.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Bol Bol, one of the new players, he is 7'2", you know, one of the taller players. And after Shaq, and has a wingspan of 7'8". So he is, obviously one of the younger guys, only 20 years old, born in 99, of Sudanese nationality and origins, descent. And so, South Sudanese American, to be precise. And he did actually go, he is a Oregon Duck.
Yeah.
Which he went to Oregon, part of the men's basketball team in 2018-19. Also was a second round draft pick, 44th overall in the NBA draft. And first was actually selected by, once again, the Miami Heat. Before and has some origins in Chicago too, because he did train with G League team, our affiliate Chicago, the Windy City Bulls, last year, and of course is currently on the Nuggets. So looking forward to seeing him.
Also, I want to apologize, but due to time constraints, we only have a few minutes left, so we just covered the Nuggets, and I think the Clippers and Lakers don't need a lot of coverage because the ESPN has been talking about them for 100 years. Especially Kawhi Leonard will make the Clippers win it all. LeBron flip-flop James will give the Lakers their first title in a decade. And
let's not forget we also have AD.
Yep, Anthony Lakers Davis, well. Paul George. Those guys are playing out of their minds.
PG-13.
I think Clippers, Lakers, foregone Western Conference final for sure. One of them will make it to the finals. One will go home. Will LeBron get his title? Will Kawhi get his repeat? We'll have to see. But it's there's a good chance they're on a
One thing I will say. Are we still on?
We're on, yeah.
One thing I will say is that it's interesting, like, how over the year, like, how these two teams have come together. I'm not talking, like, on the field necessarily, like, how all the players were brought together. And so, like, it's almost, like, very much on purpose. Like the Clippers, they, it's, like, not by accident they have, you know, Kawhi and PG-13. You know, among others, like, that is, like, a star quality, you know, star quality right there. And of course, the Lakers, you know, with AD and LaFlop, they have their, you know, their pair and, you know, being, you know, more or less, the, you know, two of the best in their respective team within the NBA. So, like, it's, I just find that kind of funny. So they're definitely very much top tier teams, and possibly without one of them, one in the four, the teams will probably fall apart, as we learned with LeBron being, just one more thing I would like to say about how they are right now, how he is, with the sore right groin, the injury is out tonight with Houston, and Alex Caruso is also questionable for the left neck muscle spasms. LeBron said that they're looking for rhythm on offense. It's just some things that you cannot control that's here that I really don't want to talk about that's off the floor. So he's kind of, and that was put into Joe Varden of The Athletic. And so it sounds like Lakers are not really gelling that way, and it's kind of a one-sided in a way with LeBron, who definitely, he gives, like, definitely opportunities for other players. I just noticed he always doesn't mind, you know, he passes the ball to, you know, all the other less established, like the newer players, I would say. Always, you know, give them some chances, and so, you know, it's not like LeBron's not, like, doing his best to make the Lakers gel. It's just that, you know, perhaps it's like these, like they said, could be some off-court issues that they're dealing with, and so they weren't themselves with playing against CP3 and the Thunders, and then the Thunders. So yeah, we'll have to see. We'll get into more about Lakers and Clippers as well in the next episode.
And yeah, I just want to say that we want to thank everyone for listening to episode 36 of the Bulldog Sports Show. We've greatly appreciated and loved your comments and messages about the show. We're making Steam as one of the best sports podcasts we've ever done. And we were excited to see what comes in the future in regards to new content. Also, stay tuned for a brand new redesign of our description. We are in the works in redesigning, changing it to appeal to more what we actually cover. And we were trying to narrow down what we write in the description. We've gotten some comments that were too broad, which I agree with that to an extent. So we're going to try to narrow it down.
Yeah. I know we're not including MMA.
No.
We will cover it, though, to a lesser extent. We haven't really covered them, you know. It's been going on, though. We'll be focused more on other sports. So just fine-tuning, as with this new feature that we introduced earlier.
Right.
We'll be being able to play around with to improve the quality of the sound as well. And we'll appreciate any feedback on how we are as we continue to record on, you know, well, right now, Audacity, I know there's been some feedback on how I have sounded out there. So please make sure to leave your comments on, you know, if I need to turn up the volume to that. For this episode, let us know.
We've gotten comments about DJ Benny the Bull was MIA ghost missing in action, or he was ghostly, or he got it like muted. Like he sounded that he was muted, even though he was obviously talking.
Yeah. Just like Toronto. Oh, yes, it is. Just like Toronto Raptors getting close to 11-11. Make a wish, like the Lakers sponsor. Check out their jerseys. Just like how, you know, I was gonna go with this. Yeah, don't worry though.
Yeah, so
what were you saying?
I said that you sounded ghostly, missing in action, no one could hear you, whatever. But I think we're getting off track, so I think we should need to end it right now. So
thanks for listening.
For tuning in.
It's episode 36.
And have a good rest of your weekend. Enjoy your weekend.
It's been fun covering
basketball
this episode once again. So.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.